And good morning, everybody. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. This is Talk of Southeast Alaska, a call-in radio show for you, our listeners. I'm your host, Becky Myers. To join our conversation, call 747-5877, and we'll be back in just a moment. All right. Good morning, everybody. Today, we'll be talking about COVID-19, the pandemic ravaging the world and the impacts and the response throughout Southeast Alaska. To stop the spread of the coronavirus, many communities have taken serious measures. And in the state, health mandates have shut down schools, closed personal services, and changed how we travel. The city of Angoon and the city and borough of Yakutat have both declared local disaster emergencies. The city of Pelican and Port Alexander have shelter-in-place orders in effect. What else is happening in your community? We invite you to call in and join us and tell us what's happening now. The number to call is 747-5877. But first, I'd like to introduce our guest. Today, we are joined by Denise Ewing, Sitka's public health nurse. She serves on the city's Health Needs and Human Services Commission and the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center that has been set up recently. And she might be a familiar voice to some of the folks in our listening communities outside of Sitka. Welcome, Denise.
Good morning.
Hey, you have to get a little closer.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Hey, so did I miss anything? Does that sum up?
No, I think that sounds like you're keeping an ear on what's going on and have a good grasp on things. So, yeah, it sounds good.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us today. I wanted to start out by saying thank you for your service to the community and for everything you do. I know that this is unprecedented times, maybe the first time that the public health center, the clinic has been closed for a little while. So
thank you so much, Becky, for inviting me here. And to be a part of this right now is just kind of a very difficult time. The health center is not closed. So we are open, and we are open from 8 to 4:30, still keeping regular business hours, and we can talk about that a little bit later, but still keeping those hours. The thing that looks a little different right now is that the door is locked. So there's a doorbell, and we're asking for each one to ring the doorbell or knock on the door, and then we will talk to you that way instead of just coming in. We're doing what everybody's doing and taking the precautions and making sure that people aren't just walking through.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. We're all taking precautions, and I know that part of that is limiting social distance. I want to assure listeners that Denise and I are at least required 6 feet away from each other.
Yes, we are.
The modern technologies of space and microphones, but yeah. I wanted to start out by saying, there's a lot of, I think, misinformation, a lot of unknowns around COVID-19. What should people start looking for in their own health, just in general, to assure themselves either that they don't have it or they might?
Well, the things that are you asking me the symptoms?
Yeah, what should people look for?
So the symptoms are the shortness of breath, the fever, and the cough is what we're telling people to watch out for and to screen for. And then it's very rare to see the normal flu like symptoms with the digestive tract or the runny nose. Those are very rare. We're barely seeing that, but it's more watching for that fever and, checking your temp and checking your temp twice a day, even if you're not under quarantine or self-isolation or maybe you have, you know, been in crowds or anything like that, checking your temp is just a good practice to take right now, just to make sure you're healthy and wiping down those surfaces and all those things that the news is just really keeping up on. And of course, the social distancing, all of those are so, so very vital right now.
Yeah. When it comes to the transmission of the virus, we know that good hygiene, wiping down surfaces can help. What do we know about the transmission of the virus?
So there are still a lot of unknowns, as you had stated, on the transmission of the virus. But what we have found is that it is transferable generally by droplet transmission. So that's your sneezes, that's your coughs. That would be maybe sneezing in your hand versus what we're saying is, you know, sneeze in your elbow. But if somebody was to sneeze on their hand and then they were to touch the doorknob or they were able to touch the phone, they can leave that virus on that phone. We are uncertain as to how long that virus can live on a cold, hard surface. Anywhere from a couple of days for a couple of hours, depending on the healthiness of that virus that is shed. But that's why it's just take the precautions and wipe everything down and keep each other safe. We have to watch out for each other. We ourselves might be in a younger age bracket, and we might be completely healthy. We could then not even really know that we had the COVID virus. Maybe just think we had a little touch of the flu or a little bug that's going on. Maybe it wouldn't have affected us personally that much, but when we shed those viruses to those that are more subject to it, they can definitely have a turnout that could be fatal for them. So we have to be careful of our neighbors and our friends and our community, and not just think of ourselves and how we might be feeling just fine, or it wasn't that hard on me, and you know, and I went through it. It could be hard on somebody else to the point that it will take their life. So this is very serious.
Yeah, I think that many of the shelter-in-place orders, a lot of the social distancing is about not caring and unwittingly contaminating and exposing other people to the virus. And, you know, I think that is also the rationale between or about limiting travel. You know, automatically quarantining yourself if you've arrived here in town from travel elsewhere, especially in the lower 48.
No, they are saying that, you know, on average, we can infect 2.5 other people, 2.5 people in that time that we maybe are asymptomatic, don't have symptoms, think we're fine, think everything's fine, we're at work, we're doing what we need to be doing, unwittingly and unwillingly and unknowingly affect 2.5 other people. And that's why we just need to really care for our other people around us and be mindful of that and keep our distance. The fatality is about 2 to 3% for COVID. 2 to 3% is higher than the seasonal flu. Though we have seen the seasonal flu around, and it's always around, you know, about this time of year, and it is here in Sitka. Some of our people do have the flu. So it's a good time. It's a good time to just be considerate of all people and to boost our immune systems, not only our own, but those that we care about in our community as well. And we can help boost each other's immune systems by keeping that distance and good hygiene, wiping down all those flat surfaces, and just staying well. And that well can look like, Becky, you know, the wholeness of wellness, the mind, body, and soul. So there's more to it than just the physical keeping well. But there's also the mental keeping well. This is a time that, you know, check on your neighbor. And you can check on your neighbor in tech-savvy ways, too. I mean, you can knock on the door and just talk through the door even. But just to check on whomever might be alone, lives on their own, To make sure that they are okay, make mm-hmm. sure that they aren't feeling completely isolated. Take those time to exercise. Mm-hmm. Might look a little different with social distancing. Don't exercise in groups, mm-hmm. but still walk your dog and still be able to go to the park.
Yeah.
Mindfulness apps. There's so many things out there, Becky, that are wonderful that can help our minds stay well, too.
Yeah. And you also touch on a question I think a lot of people have around social distancing and what to do with the outside time, you know, walking your dog and being outside. That sounds like it would be a healthy thing, but I think people are nervous about being outside. Is it just that they should continue to maintain that space or avoid groups, or what would your guidance be for folks wanting to be outside?
Well, outdoors is why we live in Alaska, right? I mean, that is why we're here. We are so outdoors people. If you can't get outdoors because maybe you're under self-isolation, mm-hmm. or maybe you're just taking extra precautions, that's okay. Open the windows and get some of that fresh air in that way. Get some good, healthy air moving in, mm-hmm. and that is good and acceptable. But if you are one that wants to go outside, it is perfectly okay to take your dog for a walk, to go outside, to do some of the normal things that you would normally do that bring you joy.
Right.
Just don't linger. Mm-hmm. And do keep your distance with other people. If somebody's walking down the street, you can cross and walk on the other side. Just give them that space and give them that room and just be healthy about it. No groups of more than 10 people. And really, that's too many. Just keep your distance and no group functions, no sharing of food, utensils. Mm-hmm. This is not the time to be having, you know, picnics and gatherings like that. But do go on a hike, you know, give each other room. Maybe some of those trails that are really narrow, maybe you don't want to do that hike. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to do something a little bit more open.
Okay.
But get outside and do the bicycling and do the things that make us Alaska and that bring joy to us.
That's a good point. Well, folks out there in the listening audience, this is a great time to call in with your questions for Denise. That number again is 747-5877, 747-5877 is the number to call to join the conversation. I wanted to switch gears a little bit, Denise, and I want to ask, how do you see hospitals and clinics throughout our region preparing for COVID-19? I know one of the things that has been happening quite often, or what we're talking about, is this flattening of the curve. Mm-hmm. And that relates directly to our capacities for healthcare. Could you talk a little more about that?
Yes, that we're hearing quite a bit about that in the news, and all of this is really good information. Do be mindful of what you're listening to in the news. I just want to point you towards, you know, the CDC website, mm-hmm. WHO website, the Department of Health Alaska government website. These are some factual places that will talk about flattening the curve, that will talk about what you can do. So those are great resources for us. Be careful. There is some misnews being put out there, some misinformation.
Right.
And so we want to be careful not to just Google it and then go with anything that you see. Mm-hmm. But be mindful of where you're going and make it those approved websites. But, you know, preparing for something like this, Becky, it's been very difficult, as you can see. We have never, us healthcare professionals, and I'm on the older range and been doing this for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have never in our lifetimes have we seen something like this to this size.
Right.
The Spanish flu was over 100 years ago.
Right.
And so what we can learn from that is what is helping us prepare now. Looking back at the history and seeing what happened during the Spanish flu, what did we do during H1N1? What did we do on some of these other more recent things? And learn from that history. And what we have learned mm-hmm. is flattening the curve simply means that we are we are trying to not exhaust all of our resources, not exhaust all of our people, and take a more linear, longer approach to it. So maybe we get onesies and twosies here and there that come down with the symptoms, but not a cluster of people where there's 14 in one day and 20 in a day and 50 in a day and hundreds. That is what we want to not do. Mm-hmm. And with the Spanish flu, when they held the parade and they thought it was done,
right?
Then the people gathered. And
it reinfected everybody, right?
Oh my goodness, it like wildfire, or it wouldn't have been as bad. So that's what we don't want to do. That's why we're saying stay home, hunker down, listen to what the governor has to say. He cares about his people. Mm-hmm. Listen to what is being put out there in the CDC and the state websites and what our local people are talking about. Take this serious. This is serious for you and serious for your neighbors. And we just want to stay as healthy as we can and boost our immune systems and do all the right things and be prepared. Because, Becky, chances are we're going to see this. This is going to affect us. Mm-hmm. And we want to be prepared when we do.
Excellent. Well, we do have a caller on the line who is who has called in with a question. Let's see if this is going to work. I have Teresa on the line. I don't have Teresa on the line. And we'll try maybe this one. Teresa is not there either. Any word out there? No. I know that she had a question about wiping down surfaces. What is an appropriate thing to use in order to wipe down surfaces to disinfect them?
What a great question. So this is a very fragile virus. It is not a hardy virus, which is good for us. What this virus needs to kill it and what you can use is basic soap and water. Soap and water.
Okay.
Will go a long way in cleaning surfaces with that. But let's even get even a little bit more.
Are we getting lo-fi?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So even more, we can do Lysol, Pine Sol, Clorox, diluted Clorox. Mm-hmm. We can if you still have the wipes, the Clorox wipes, the Sani wipes, those are great too. But if you don't, it's okay. You can make that. Any household product that is a cleaning agent will kill this virus. But basic soap and water will do it as well. So if you're cleaning your surfaces after you wash dishes, just do that extra wipe down with regular Dawn or, mm-hmm. or whatever you're using, and that will kill it. And if you want to step it up, any household cleaning agent will work to kill this.
We can make sure that our surfaces are clean with almost any cleaning agent that mm-hmm. we are actually using
yeah.
now. Well, I know that when we were talking about flattening the curve, what we're trying to do in preparation for something that we haven't really seen in 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
The public health offices and clinics, they provide services as well. Could you tell folks what's available?
Yeah, so right now, public health nurses are focusing on COVID. Prior to any COVID positives in the state of Alaska, the focus was on education and preventative measures, such as getting the influenza shot out there to boost those immune systems, helping our community partners with isolation and quarantine plans for COVID. And as of right now, we still do not have a positive here in Sitka, like I mentioned. However, when that occurs, if and when, then our focus at public health changes, and it already has changed. So what we're doing now is we work closely with epidemiology in doing a full-scale contact investigation, tracing, and tracking. We are basically monitoring all the contacts that have come in contact with the COVID positive right now. But in the midst of all of this, I am still seeing people for immunizations that are healthy and symptom-free. Just call the public health center mm-hmm. and we will get your flu shot. Still can do that. There's no restrictions. We have lifted those restrictions because of COVID. Mm. So no age, no insurance. It doesn't matter. Just come in if you haven't gotten a flu shot. Takes 7 days to take effect, but it will definitely boost your immune system. Mm-hmm. It's not a cure, but it is a boost to your immune system. Right now, still seeing any active tuberculosis patients as normal. However, Sitka doesn't have any at this time.
Oh.
So that's awesome. Any positive sexually transmitted infections, birth control, still doing business as usual. But I have to be mindful, and I'm balancing that because I am a one nurse station. So call ahead and just let us know what it is that your needs are, and we'll still meet those. But right now, it's getting pretty heavy with the contact investigation. Mm-hmm. All public health nurses are kind of chipping in together. So I'm helping those in Juneau, helping those in Ketchikan. So we're taking each other's cases. So it won't be just one public health nurse in one area. It just takes just their people. But in order to help each other out, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of caseload tracing back whom somebody has came in contact with over the last few days, and then contacting all of them.
Right. For folks that have questions about COVID-19 and how we do that kind of contact tracking, please call 747-5877. This is the time to ask questions of Denise and find out what we're doing in the field of public health in response to COVID-19. I'm kind of, one of the things that has been a little bit mysterious to me is around that contact tracking. And so I might have traveled, have self-isolated, but I suspect that I have COVID-19, then what are the next steps, and then what does that contact tracking look like?
Well, the contact tracking is the public health nurse. So let me kind of back up. If somebody was to test positive, and by the way, there is the screening site that is by Family Mountainside Clinic there on Moeller Avenue.
Oh, that's where it is.
That's where it is. And it's open Monday through Friday right now from 12 to 4. Mm-hmm. And they're just asking that you call ahead at the COVID hotline. And that number, I might as well just give that to you now.
Oh, yeah.
Is COVID hotline, 966-8799. So that is how you would make an appointment to have a screening. Mm-hmm. And then they will take a sample from you. It is not pleasant. It is a nasal sample. So you've been seeing that. It's not too much fun, but it does get the job done. And then we can... they will send that off as prescribed by your provider.
Mm-hmm.
Epidemiology will receive that test. If you're a positive, they will let your doctor know, and your doctor will be calling you with the results if all things work out well. If not, you might be receiving the results from Epi, or your public health nurse, myself, or one of the other public health nurses will call and let you know that you're a positive. With the contacts, there's no need to call in the public health and ask if you're a contact or if you've been listed as somebody that possibly came in close contact.
You would probably be notified.
You will be notified, right? You don't need to call us. We will call you on that one. And so that's just part of the tracing, but we then kind of trace back how many days it's been since maybe if you were the point of contact, if you were the person that was tested positive, we will call you and ask you questions, and quite a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But those questions will look like, when did your symptoms start? What did your symptoms start like? When did they start? Have you traveled? That type of a thing, and get that information. And then we go into the full contact investigation with all of the people that you have been in contact with over the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a walk by, Becky.
No.
It's not a walk by and you spread those germs. We want to be mindful and careful, but really I ask the question, have you been within 6 feet for longer than 10 minutes?
Okay.
Okay, so it's not just a walk down the street, now I know I've got it.
Right, or you look each other in the eye or something.
Right. You're not going to transmit it
that way. It's prolonged contact.
We call that
in 6 feet.
Right. We call it a very, very low risk, and we don't even follow up with that, it's such a low risk. Mm-hmm. We would be too many people. We have a medium risk and a higher risk. And of course, you're at your highest risk when you are intimately involved with that person. So your husband, wife, your family members, those at your home, those that you have that close, intimate contact with, those are our high-risk people. And you'll be getting a call. You would get a call from one of the public health nurses that says, you know, someone that you know, and we don't release that information.
Right.
HIPAA is still important.
Right.
Though they may deduce, you know, but...
Right. I'm sure if you get the call, right, you would know.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody that you have came in contact with, mm-hmm, you know, has a COVID positive. And at that time, we would talk you through what it is that you needed to do to self-isolate for the 14 days, to monitor your temperature twice a day. You'll be well prepared for it. And there's so much information out there. Mm-hmm. There's so much information out there that when I do ask you those questions, when somebody does call, you'll be prepared with all of those answers because the news is talking about it. Everybody's talking about
it. That's right. It is constantly here. So we do have a caller. We have Bob Carroll on the line in Sitka. We'll try that. You there? Bob, are you there? Yeah, I'm not sure. We're still trying to work out the phone system here, and that might be the reality of things right now. Bob had a question about the protocol if you have symptoms. And I think you covered a little bit about what happens if you do test positive, but mm-hmm, but if you have the symptoms right now, what are your recommendations for people out there?
Yeah, so that's a great question. If you have the symptoms and you have the fever, you have the cough, hopefully you're not having shortness of breath, but if you have that as well, this is a time that you need to self-isolate and not go out, but self-isolate and call that COVID hotline. Let's use the resources that we've been given here. So calling that COVID hotline at 966-8799, that is our main resource right now. Call them, give them the information, and they will guide you in making a self-decision, either hunker down and self-isolate or to come in and to be screened at that time. And then call your physician as well. That's what your doctors are there for. They want to hear from you. They want to help you. So call your physician and say, you know, I'm not feeling well. These are the symptoms that I have. I may have traveled or I may have came in contact with somebody, and talk with them and see if you have symptoms, they will definitely do a screening for you.
Mm-hmm.
Put a mask on. Be mindful of those that you don't want to infect. In case you do have a positive, you want to make sure that you self-isolate, you use the telephone, and if you do go out, because you're going to go through the drive-through and have the collection site there through search, put that ear loop surgeon mask on, put that mm-hmm mask on. If you don't have it, just make sure that you have something like a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure that you're covered.
I have noticed that there are quite a few people that are offering to make masks. So they're sewing together masks. Mm-hmm. Is that something that is helpful in the shortage of masks?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought that was quite ingenious to wear a mask cover over an N95 for our hospital workers.
Oh, yeah.
Way to go. That is ingenuity. I love it.
And it probably increases the reusability of that mask if there are, like, you know, a shortage of them.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it is the particulate,
right,
that is spreading the disease, those droplets.
Not for the healthcare worker. We
no.
don't reuse.
Okay.
So even though they're sewing them, they should be throwing them away after
okay.
that. You know, right now with the shortage, I'm not sure. I've seen all kinds of crazy things. But for the people that are doing it just to keep, because they have symptoms and they're mm-hmm. keeping it from other people, then, yeah, having a mask that you've made, you could rewash that, absolutely, every time you went out. Sure, absolutely. Anything that you have is better than nothing at all.
True. Well, we're going to try to get this on the line. We are going to be joined, hopefully, by Charlie at Youth Advocates of Sitka and Amy from Sitka Counseling. We're going to give this a shot. You there? Okay. Now we are trying. Hello. All right. Again. Hello. Well, well, well. As it turns out, they are not quite on the line. We do have some other questions, though, from Charles. He wants to know, what steps can people do to increase during quarantine? Like, what are some things that help people, I suppose, in mental health if you are in self-quarantine? Because I think that isolation probably, it can instigate a number of different feelings.
Yeah, I think so. I think that disconnect, Becky, when you're hearing all this news all the time, and we just organically become news junkies, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you know, I myself have to be careful and limit how much news that I'm bombarded with every day. That's one thing to do is, yes, be mindful of what's going on. Be attentive. Have the TV on, watch those news resources, be connected, because it's a good to be connected. It's also a good time to not be as connected sometimes.
Yeah, to take a step back and have some healthy distance from things that are stressing you, I think is an important part of maintaining mental health.
Absolutely. And those normals. Mm-hmm. Do some things that are routine. Because now your routine, if you're sheltering in place and you're hunkering down and you have one of those jobs that you're doing from home, mm-hmm. those things are all so very new.
Yes.
If you can do something that you typically always do at this time every day and keep some of those routines, mm-hmm. then that helps your mind. So exercising, if you always exercised at 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. You might have to do that from home. You might have to do it with a TV and a videotape in place versus going to the gym. But it's something that you do routinely, and that will help your mind to stay healthy.
Well, great. I think we may have Amy and Charlie on the line. Are you there?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, we did it. Hooray.
Yay.
Hi. So to remind everybody on the line or on the air, we have Charlie with Youth Advocates and Amy from Sitka Counseling on the line joining Denise, who is our public health nurse. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. So we were just talking about aspects of behavioral health and how to feel and stay well during the COVID-19 pandemic. I have a question for you, Amy. You know, lots of people are focused on this infectious disease, but what do you think the impacts around mental health are that you've seen?
I appreciate you asking that, because I think that there's a lot of fear and anxiety about this pandemic that can be overwhelming and really cause some strong emotions at this time. And I feel like adults and children are feeling those right now, and I think we need to really remember that everyone's going to process this type of information very differently, and everyone's going to react to it differently. And I think we need to remember that we also need to think about people that might already have pre-existing mental health issues or concerns, and keeping those protocols in place and really working with providers that are in town.
Mm-hmm. So for folks that are in town, how is Sitka Counseling connecting with clients?
So right now, it's really been very case-by-case basis. Our outpatient receptionist is calling all of our clients that are currently accessing services, and we're offering telebehavioral health services. The state of Alaska has also opened up the HIPAA rules and requirements as being a little bit more relaxed, so we're able to gain consent via the telephone. And so in our adult population, we're able to call and do check-ins daily to clients to make sure they're doing okay and coping with some of the stress, and being able to provide some telephonic services if they're not able to do telebehavioral health services. And so one of the big challenges we're having right now is bandwidth, or people don't necessarily have a camera on their computer or their cell phone. They're not sure if they have enough minutes to download and do all of these other things. So being able to provide telephonic services has been really helpful right now.
Well, thank you for that. For folks that feel that they may be in crisis, that they may need to speak to somebody outside of their normal circles, do you have any resources for those folks?
Oh, definitely. If they call our main number, 747-3636, we're able to connect them to a clinician that's here. We still have our doors open. We are doing limited screenings on people when they're coming in to make sure everybody's okay. If they're sick, we, you know, on their phone calls, when reminders to make sure they're okay. But our main office, we can get you set up with telebehavioral health if that's something you're interested in, by just contacting our reception at 747-3636. So you don't even have to come in if you don't want to. You can do it all via the phone, or we can set you up with a Zoom.
Excellent. Is there anything else, Amy, that you'd like to let listeners know at this time about?
Oh, just the practice of social distancing and protecting yourselves. I know, I'm sure that Denise had mentioned a variety of CDC guidelines and different things, and as an agency, we're continuing to practice those. It's very interesting to be kind of confined in your office space all day, but that's what we have to do to be able to provide services and help. We're also finding that this might be an opportunity for somebody to come in and just do some short-term crisis management, which would, you know, limit maybe one or two or three episodes of coming in, not coming in, such a bad habit, but being able to access some services to relieve some of the anxiety and stress that they're feeling.
Thank you for those resources, Amy. Charlie, I have a question for you. What are your concerns with providing direct services at this time? What are you worried about?
Well, you know, we have closed our hub, our main office, to the public, and also last week when the school was closed, we also closed the cloud. So the cloud is our, you know, teen center. We have services there, and a lot of the youth, because we had to close it, actually have nowhere to go. And a lot of our youth really don't understand everything associated with this situation and, you know, the real danger. Often youth, they have this immortality thoughts, and they don't really understand the real threat. So, you know, they still are out and, you know, engaging and not really practicing social distancing. So that's one of my real concerns, is communicating to the youth the real seriousness of this situation. As Amy kind of said, the state has opened up, and also federal government opened up a lot of avenues for us to really kind of explore telemedicine now. So we are using telemedicine with our youth and our clients in a different way than we've ever had because of the regulatory changes. And we are lucky because all the youth that we serve, they're really open to technology and computers and their phones and Zoom and different things like that. So it's a much more receptive audience than older individuals usually. So we're lucky in that kind of thing. We have just started what we call the virtual cloud. I'd like to give that number out, and it's for all the clients and the community members that was participating in the cloud. Youth from the age of 12 to 18. And the number is 907-738-8266. Again, it's 907-738-8266. And we have the cloud staff that mans that phone Monday through Saturday, 3 to 9. And if any kids need any kind of support, wants to talk, feel lonely, have any questions, or just wants to connect with a healthy adult, we have that phone line open for them to connect with the staff that was working at the cloud already. Hopefully next week we'll have Zoom applications up where we can really modify it to a real virtual cloud situation, so we can actually have individuals participating in supportive services through Zoom. So again, this is an opportunity for us to provide services in a different kind of way. So we're really excited about that.
I have a question. Charlie, would that virtual cloud number be available to youth outside of Sitka as well?
Typically, no, because our service populations in Sitka. But, you know, if there was a need, they could call, and then we could try to connect them with services to their home community.
Okay. So then for the folks that are listening that are younger listeners, what would you suggest, Charlie, that they do to maintain happy, healthy, and socially distant lives?
Yeah, absolutely. one thing is to actually connect with your friends and your family virtually. You know, we have a lot of technology now. We can FaceTime, we can Zoom, we can use alternative ways to connect. And a lot of our kids are very apt to those technologies. And that's why I tell my niece to actually live with her. She's like, oh, my God, I miss my friends. I said, well, you're going to have to adapt for a little bit of, you know, interacting with your friends through creative ways, through Snapchat, through Zoom, through Instagram. So virtually can connect with people, but also understand absolutely it's important to stay 6 feet away from everyone that's not in your home.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, thank you, Amy and Charlie, for calling in with some excellent advice. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Have a great day.
Thank you. Yeah, and so that was Amy with Sitka Counseling and Charlie with Youth Advocates of Sitka. I think that, you know, in this time, it can be very difficult to be able to, you know, monitor your own well-being when you're inundated with all this sort of like very stressful and kind of it's concerning news.
Mm-hmm. And it happened just overnight.
Yes.
You know, so there was no forewarning for a lot of our youth, you know, and a lot of us. There wasn't that. There wasn't a, well, just a minute, something's going to change. No, it just happened overnight, and we're expecting them to change all their normalcies and to adhere to all these new rules, and it's new to them. They've never seen anything like this. We have never seen anything on this type of scale before.
Right.
So if we're feeling that isolation or that pressure or that fear and being scared, how much more are they feeling it and maybe just not having the words to use, maybe rebelling or whatever, you know, that
right.
they might be just trying to figure it out themselves. And they're a social group to be able to socialize with, get together and make the world okay for them. And right now that looks a little different. So definitely Charlie had some great ideas and what a time and age that we live in that Snapchat is available and we can instant message each other and keep things going like that. That's so important.
Yeah. So for folks in our listening communities outside of Sitka, I know that you serve some of them, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, you were just saying you were in Pelican last week. Was that also a thing?
I was. I think time flies, but I think it's been a couple of weeks. And yes, I was in Pelican helping their itinerant nurse, Sue Webb, who is based out of Juneau, and she goes there. That's part of her people. Mm-hmm. She's an itinerant nurse, so she does not have a nursing station like I do, but or a clinic that she is attached to. She works out of the Juneau Public Health Clinic and sees a lot of her people, and Pelican is one of her territories. So I went there just to kind of see how that unfolds for her and to kind of give a hand with everything going on. It's just a little bit more work. Yes, I'm stationed here in Sitka, and I live here in Sitka, and I've made this my home, and I take care of Port Alexander. A matter of fact, I told you that I couldn't do this radio station when you first asked me.
Right,
because
you were going to
be
there.
In Port Alexander. But with some changes, we've all have to adapt to make those changes, and I can't social distance myself very well in a seaplane.
Right, and that's something I think that the seaplanes and Ward Air have been about recently is maintaining a level of sanitization. They've been very upfront about that. It's true, if you are in a you know, one of those beavers or whatever, you're only gonna be able to maintain maybe 2 feet
absolutely
of space.
Yeah, absolutely not enough space there for our own safety. So unfortunately I didn't get the chance to see my new family, Port Alexander, but I am waiting for this all to kind of subside and be able to those things be lifted so that I can get there. But they are being taken care of over the phone. We are able to get them masks, things that they need, you know, via the mail, the EAC. Yeah.
Right, Baronautica going down. I know that they they have aligned their policies with those of the state around travel mandates and such.
Mm-hmm. What I would say to our communities that are out there, I noticed that that when a seaplane comes in or the boat comes in with their mail, the town, the village, just wants to come down there and be a part of that excitement and see what's going on. And the dogs come and the people come, and it's so inviting, and it's just such a friendly, inviting atmosphere. And it's what they do. They're welcoming you to their community. And one of the things is that we don't want to do that right now. Mm-hmm. That is not what we want to do, not to rush down there and visit the seaplane or, you know, but to keep those distances and have the packages dropped off and let the mail carrier, let the boat, let the plane go. So
we are joined on the phone by Dr. Brule. Are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. You're joining me and Denise Ewing here on Raven Radio. Thanks for joining us today.
You're most welcome.
So you both work in tandem with this response on the health side and in capacities for our healthcare resources. Could Dr. Brule, could you talk a little bit about what you're doing for communities outside of Sitka to prepare for COVID-19?
Absolutely. We provide care in 27 different locations around Southeast Alaska. Some of our larger sites include Klawock, Juneau, Wrangell, Haines. And in those locations, we have been preparing our staff with lots of education and practice and drills for the care of patients with COVID-19. We've been ensuring that we have supplies that are adequate for testing and for isolation and for the care of patients, including ventilator supplies and all of the other medical necessities that go along with taking care of a critically ill patient in those locations. In our smaller locations, we have been training our staff in their personal protective equipment and protocols for ensuring that they can both test patients in the smaller locations and also ensuring that they're able to move patients if necessary to one of our larger healthcare facilities.
And speaking of how to move patients to the larger healthcare facilities, could you tell our listeners a little bit more how to access that? What does that look like?
Well, I mean, that looks like use of our Medivac mm-hmm. Services. And we contract with Medivac Services, and they are completely up and running and have all their protocols in place for maintaining staff safety while moving patients around Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really a continuation of our usual operation. Okay. We have been moving patients from smaller communities to our larger communities, and it's been going smoothly.
That's good to hear. I think I did you a disservice in introducing you. This is Dr. Brule with Search, correct?
Yeah, I'm the Vice President and Chief Medical Officer.
Excellent. Well, do you have any specific advice for folks that might be listening in Elfin Cove or in Tenakee Springs or any place outside of Sitka? Any advice for them?
Well, the advice for them, the most important advice, has come from our State Department of Health. So, and that's the same advice for all of our communities and throughout Alaska, which is for them to avoid close contact with others.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the problem with this virus, as we know, is that there's a potential for spread even before you become ill. And unfortunately for many patients, when they do become sick, the illness looks very much like another illness that would be quite mild, a flu or a flu-like illness. So the symptoms are fever and cough. And, of course, this time of year, there's many colds that are running around. And for some patients who become infected with this virus, it does look like a cold. And then for other patients, it becomes a life-threatening illness. So that's part of what we're struggling against. So if you're living in Tenneke or you're living in Pelican or Elfin Cove or Kaufman Cove or any of our other small communities that we serve, and, you know, I personally provide medical care in Pelican, it's important for you as well to maintain physical distance and avoid large groups. Even though you may be out at the end of the travel chain, this is really our one opportunity. As Dr. Zink, our chief medical officer from the Department of Health, has said, and I agree, this is really our state's one opportunity to get this right. We may be able, as a state, to, in a sense, dodge a bullet. And really avoid having having a disaster on our hands by everyone maintaining good distance and not congregating. And if you do become ill, for goodness sake, stay home. And don't, you know, really even self-isolate within your home if you're able. And if you're wondering how to do that, there's really good information on the CDC website about how to isolate yourself within the home. So those things are so important. The governor's mandate that came out 2 days ago about people coming in from out of state needing to isolate for 14 days is essential. Here in Sitka, with our incident command system, with Mr. John Leach, and then over in Juneau, their incident command system, we are working to meet every single person who gets off of a plane into the community to understand that that's their duty if they are coming from out of town. And, you know, some of our smaller communities have actually said, we do not want people from outside the community coming in. They've made that official. I'll give you an example. One of our smaller communities is Clukwan, and they have basically said, we do not want people from outside the community coming into the community. And if you're from our community and you're returning home, we want you to isolate for 14 days before you sort of recirculate back into the community. And I think that is something that really needs to be considered carefully by each small community. And I would urge our smaller communities to do that. I would support them in that, and I would be happy to talk to any leadership from any of our small communities about the reasons for that.
Excellent. Dr. Brill, would you share how folks can get in touch with you if they're with those communities?
Yeah, absolutely. You can contact us through our community relations lines. Let's see, Megan Bosak, who's our director of communications, is with me today. Megan, do you have a phone number for people?
I do. Our COVID hotline number is 907-966-8799, and they can contact Dr. Brill or myself that way. In addition, we have lots of resources available on our COVID19.search.org website. Both those are available.
Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing that. For folks listening out there, we will be posting this along with an archive of the show on the website. So thank you for sharing those numbers. We will be sure to put them online for folks to see them later. And thank you for joining us today, Megan and Dr. Brill.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely. So we just had Dr. Elliot Brill with Search on the line. I'm joined in the studio with Denise Ewing. With she's the public health nurse here in Sitka. Denise, we only have a few more minutes left in the show. Did you have any further or final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners out there?
Absolutely. Just keep doing what you're doing. Sitka and our communities are just strong. We are strong. Continue to be strong. Continue to be nice to yourself. You're important. And you're not alone. We are all in this together. Funny thing, a good friend of mine just the other day said, you know, we're all in this boat together. We just might have different looking oars.
Mine's a hockey stick.
Right? It just might look a little different. But we are all in this together. So, you know, as I touched on before, and I think many of us have said, just remember your neighbors. Check on them, especially if they live alone or they're older. Keep your 6 feet of distance. But let them know that you care. People are still people during this time, and we have to remember that. Someone's watching out for them. Someone's watching out for you. Make sure that you enjoy that sunshine, enjoy the fresh air, keep your windows open, walk your dogs, play outside. Just do it not in groups, and just be mindful of each other. And for our teenagers out there, just hang in there. This is a learning experience for us all, and they're not alone either. Stay with the social media. Stay connected with your friends. Help you through this time. And remember all of the tips that we have given, just to make sure that you're practicing good hand hygiene, not touching your face as much as you can, cleaning those surfaces that you didn't even know existed, like the TV remote control.
I know.
In your house, right? And, you know, the coffee pot handle and the door handles and your microwaves. All of those things that you go, oh, yeah, maybe I should clean that. This is a good time to get the diluted bleach out, get the
soap and water.
Got it. And clean and do some spring cleaning. And keep the windows open, a little fresh air.
You can't hurt. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Denise.
And you're welcome.
It has been a pleasure, and I'm glad that we were able to share a bunch of information. We'll also be posting this on our website, kcaw.org, as we have been doing since the beginning with the COVID-19 Information Hub. We'll have a recording of the show next time. We'll hopefully be April 15th, but it really just depends on what's happening with the coronavirus. But we will be talking about more COVID-19 things, and that's me talking. Ha! Our producer is Peter Vu. Thanks also to Belly Meat, who made our theme music. If you'd like to be a guest on our next show or have any ideas on topics you would like to hear discussed, contact me, Becky, by calling 747-5877. You can also follow along on our newsletter. Sign up for it on our website. Go to kcaw.org and find the button on the right side of the homepage. An archive of this program will also be available on our website.